Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to see you this morning. So good to be together. Beck, I loved, oh, she's gone. I think she's gone out with the kids. Wasn't that good? Isn't that great just to hear of God's goodness over little Daniel and that family? It's been incredible. So such a great thing to share. So this morning, we are on our second week of Advent. And last week, Sarah talked to us about the angel visitation that we read about in Luke to Zechariah. This week, I'm going to be talking to us about our second angel visitation, which Tim read to us this morning right at the start of our service. I don't know that Tim even knew that I was going to be talking about this. So there we go, which is brilliant. So we're going to be looking at this incredible story of the angel Gabriel visiting Mary. And we're going to share some thoughts on that this morning. So, do you know what? We're going to read it again because it might just be, you know, it was a little while ago that we heard it. Some of us were maybe coming in, not quite fully engaging. I'm sure they were, Tim. But, you know, let's just read it again because, you know what? It's good just to read scripture. So I'm just going to read from Luke 1. And we're going to read from 26 to 38. So if you have Bibles, you might want to find it and follow along. I think it's also going to come up on the screen. So here we go. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Do you know, this is a great story. This is a great part of the Christmas story. And I reckon probably for most of us here, we've heard this a lot of times. Put your hand if you think, yeah, I've actually heard, yeah, an incredible amount of times. This is one of those where it's like, yeah, we've heard this. And you know, as I've been preparing this week, there is so much in this story. There are so many things I could talk about. And I'll be honest, it's taken me a while to work out exactly what to say, because I could have been standing there for about an hour going, oh, I can talk about this to do with Mary. She was an ordinary girl in an ordinary place. I can talk about the favor. You know, that angel twice said, "Mary, the favor over you." There's loads of little things. But this morning, I want us to focus on one really specific part. And this morning, I want us to look at the words that the angel said to Mary about who Jesus was going to be. And that is going to be our focus. There's all these other things, but today I want us to really look at these words. Because you know what? I actually find it quite incredible in verses 31 to 33 that the angel, in quite a few words, manages to say an incredible amount. That's being concise, isn't it? I'm not so good at that. You know, when it's like, oh, why use like 10 words? I'm going to use 100 words to say the same thing. This angel, within so few words, gives us an incredible picture of who Jesus is. And today, I just really felt like, actually, this is Advent. This is our second Sunday of Advent. We talk a lot, don't we, about Christmas rushing about who's already feeling the rush of it all and they're frantic. Anyone feeling that already? Okay, not too many. Just you, Dave. There's a few little hands going, actually, yeah. Do you know, we often talk about that, don't we, that Christmas can feel manic and rushed. And so this morning, I want us to just slow down. And I'm even going to just try not to talk too fast and slow down a little bit. And we're going to just really look at what the angel says about Jesus and really allow I just feel this morning is about allowing a chance to let the truth of what the angel says really sink into us. And it might be words that you've heard a million times, but my prayer is, oh God, will you do something new in us this morning? Will you just really take this to the next level? In fact, I'm going to pray now, because for a lot of us, what I'm going to say is probably nothing new. But this morning, God wants us to really hear his word. So Father God, I just pray for us this morning. I just pray that as we take a moment to look at these words of this the angel, to hear about who Jesus is, well, I pray this morning that these words of truth will go deep into each one of us. May we see something we've never seen before. May we have a revelation of something we've never quite noticed before. Will you take the words that I'm going to say, the words of this angel, the words, your word, and will you do a work in us this morning? Amen. So these words of the angel says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. We're going to start there. In fact, shall we put our first word up, Jesus? This is the first thing the angel says. You will name him Jesus. Do you know what? This is a significant moment, isn't it? You know that whole, like, when you're naming your children? I was thinking about this. It's quite a big deal, isn't it? It was quite nice for Mary. She didn't have to worry about what to call the baby. Wasn't that good? Does anyone else find sometimes it's a struggle where you're going, what are we going to, you know, we came to our third and we were like, oh, kind of used up some of our top names. It's like, what do we use? No, we didn't. Lucy was still a top name. Still a top name. But, you know, the whole thing of choosing a name, it's done for her. But I just love this. This is a moment where I think it's like the first time that the name Jesus is spoken, isn't it? This is a significant moment. His name, Jesus. And his name means Savior. Should we put the first and the next bit up? Jesus, Savior. His name means Savior. His name means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. Do you know, his name just purely speaks his mission. It speaks his purpose. He came to die to save us from our sins so that we can have eternal life. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? His name. That's what his name means. And you know, I'm going to do something a little bit different. So I'm really hoping today you'll go with me. I've got quite a few different verses at different points today. And I thought rather than me just literally, my voice, go on, I'd love your help. I have not pre-planned. I haven't asked people anything. But there's going to be different verses that I'm just going to go, look, can someone just find it? And if you've got it, whether you could just come up and literally read us the verse or verses. So this is where it's like, it doesn't matter if you've got an actual proper Bible, whether you've got your phone, so maybe get your mobile apps, your Bible apps ready. John 3:16. I reckon most of us could probably quote this one. But I wonder if someone could just find it and come and read it for us. This might just be, oh, I might have to start pouncing on people, I think, oh, straight away, because some people are keen, some people are not. Anyone up for just coming and reading it? All you've got to do is come and stand and read. John 3:16. Anyone? Annie, fabulous. Come on, Annie. Just come and read these words for us.
For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
Woo! That's like a woo moment, isn't it? Okay, this is about reading truth, because you know what? This, it's all packed in here. There's so much truth. I'm going to read the next couple. You might want to start searching for Romans 10:9-13. I'm coming to that in a moment. But I want to read these couple of verses. 1 Timothy 1:15 says this. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save those who are lost. Wow. This is Jesus' Savior. This is what his name means. He has come to save those who are lost. Do you know, this is a message that our world needs to hear right now. Isn't it just? What a message our world needs to hear. There is hope. We talked about hope last week. There is hope in this name, Jesus, Savior, who came to save the lost. Acts 4 verse 12 says this, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Says it all. He's the only one. He is the only one that can save us. There is no one else. We can't save ourselves. We can't save each other. It is Jesus. I wonder if someone's got Romans 10 for me. Romans 10, verse 9 to 13. Jim, fabulous. Come on.
If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Thanks, Jim. Wow. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Those verses are so good. It just talks about putting our faith in him, putting our trust in him, believing he died for us. Jesus means Savior. He came to save us. Do you know, I love that in Romans, if it carries on, it says that whole thing basically of the call for us, doesn't it? And if they call on him to save them, how are they going to believe unless someone tells them? And it's that whole thing of that we have a calling, we have a message, we have a job to do. And what a perfect time at Christmas. Like, this is it. So much, you know, the name of Jesus is like probably the most known name in the world. And it means Savior. So we have a job to do. That we want people to know this. That he saves, and he saves everyone that calls on him. So the angel tells us, we get all of that from just his name, Jesus. And the angel then says, he will be very great. He will be very great. I wonder if we could put the next one up that says, after Jesus, Savior, we've got Jesus. He is great. Do you know, great's an interesting word, isn't it? Sometimes I think it's a little like understated almost. I'd rather like awesome or amazing or fabulous or incredible. Great. But actually, the more I've looked at this, I'm like, wow, Jesus is great. The greatness of Jesus. Do you know what's interesting is last week, Sarah talked about the visitation, the angel come in to Zechariah and talking about John the Baptist. And the angel there said about John the Baptist that he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. So we get that just before we read this passage. He will be great in the eyes of the Lord. And now the angel is saying, but Jesus, he is great. He is great. John the Baptist was pretty great, wasn't he? But Jesus was greater. Jesus is greater than the angels. Jesus is greater than anyone or anything. I wonder if someone can find Psalm 145. Verses 1 to 3. Just some verses that just speak of the greatness, come on, Pete, of God.
I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness.
Thanks, Pete. I love that at the end there. No one can measure his greatness. In the NIV, it says his greatness no one can fathom. That's a good word, fathom. We can't figure out his greatness. That's how great he is, that we cannot measure it. We cannot measure it. And I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because we think of greatness in our own human mind, it's on a different level. We think of greatness in terms of like just abilities, achievements, accomplishments, success, material possessions. That's what we naturally think about. But the greatness of Jesus is beyond all of that. It is absolutely beyond it. I read in the week a description of greatness that says this: serving others for the glory of God. Isn't that pretty cool? I really liked that when I heard that. Serving others for the glory of God. Now, John the Baptist did that. He was all about pointing everyone to Jesus. But Jesus' whole life, his whole life was for the glory of God. His death on the cross was for the glory of God. His whole being, he was always about the Father's business. He was all about revealing, that's his purpose, revealing God to us. Do you know, I also read this as well, which I really liked, and this one can come up on the screen, is that these words here are a promise of transcendent greatness. Transcendent greatness. Transcendent. I don't often use that word. Anybody else ever use that word? It's not one that I generally use. And I looked it up. I was like, okay, I like doing that. Let's do a little Google, look in the definition. And it talked about transcendent as being beyond or above the range of normal or physical experience. Being beyond and above. Exceeding usual limits. Beyond comprehension. That's the greatness of Jesus. It is beyond our understanding. It exceeds everything. And when we start to look at that, I go, wow, Jesus is great. In Jeremiah 10, verse 6, it says, Lord, there is none like you, for you are great. Your name is full of power. Jesus is great. Maybe just turn and say that to the person next to you, just to make sure you're awake and following. Jesus is great. Go and tell them. He's great. He certainly is. I heard down here, he's the greatest. Absolutely. His true essence, his being, is that he's great. Okay, the next thing that the angel says, he says, he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. So we can put that one up. The Son of the Most High. Do you know I love that description, Most High? It's a reference to God that we don't often use. We don't often maybe talk ourselves, but Most High, Son of the Most High, this is God. And it's a description that comes right back in Genesis. We hear of it right back in the book of Genesis. We hear God being referred to as the Most High. It says in Genesis 14, when it's talking about Melchizedek, blesses Abraham, and he says here, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies. So all the way back in Genesis and throughout, we get this reference to God as the Most High. So in this moment, the angel is saying this baby is the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, which means that this baby is in pure nature God. He is equal to God. And I was just thinking, how amazing. I wonder what Mary thought when she's being told that her child is going to be God's son. All the attributes, all the qualities of God in this child. And that is just incredible. Jesus is Son of the Most High. And I wonder if someone can find Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 to 4. And do you know, these verses are so beautiful in just describing Jesus. It talks about his greatness. It talks about his qualities that are of God. I'm just finding it in my own Bible. I wonder, somebody got Hebrews chapter 1 that would be up for coming and reading it for us? Anyone? Come on, Caleb. Thank you. We're going to do Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. You got that? Yeah.
In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs.
Thank you, Caleb. Your version used the word superior. He's superior to the angels. He's superior to us. In my version, it says that he is far greater than the angels. The name God gave him is greater than their names. I just am like, this is such great truth for us to hold on to this morning. Isn't this great to just read words of who Jesus is? He is great, Son of the Most High. Then the angel goes on and says this. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. So God is going to give him the throne of David. Basically, the angel is saying to Mary, do you know the one that you've been waiting for 400 years? This is him. This is it. Like, isn't that cool? This is amazing. Basically, he is the promised one. I wonder if we can put that one up. Jesus, the promised one. The one they have been waiting for years and years and years. I'm like, wow. Wow. This is the one that's been spoken about throughout all the prophets. The Messiah, the anointed one. The one that's going to come out of David. So Mary in this moment is saying, okay, this baby, he's the one you've been waiting for all that time. This fulfills the promise that was given to David. And I wonder if someone can find this one in their Bibles, 2 Samuel, and we're going to read what that promise was. This is a fulfillment. You know, Jesus fulfills everything of the Old Testament. Do you know, if you're not a big fan of the Old Testament, become a big fan of the Old Testament because it is so amazing and it is crucial to us understanding where we are today in this moment of celebrating Jesus. Do you know, it's one of the things, I have to say, I probably wasn't a massive Old Testament fan when I was growing up, didn't really get it all. But those of you that know, we do like that. I do the walk through the Bible in primary schools. Oh my word, that has incredibly helped me to understand the big story. And what's spoken in the Old Testament is so significant. So 2 Samuel, in 2 Samuel, what was it? Chapter 7. We get God speaking a promise to David. And we're going to read from the second part of 11 through to 16. Would anyone like to come and read that for us? Any volunteers? If I use up all my volunteers. William, thank you so much, William. It's lovely to have some different voices. It's good. I also love that we get different versions.
Or you could read it from my Bible, if that's easier. Want it from mine? Here you go. And that's here. Down to the end. Is that all right? Cool, thank you. Right, it says furthermore. This bit.
Okay. Furthermore, the Lord declares that he will make a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, your own offspring, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for my name, and I will secure his royal throne forever.
Brilliant. Thank you, William. This was the promise that God gave to David. And now in this moment, the angel's saying, this promise is being fulfilled. And I love that promise at the end there. Your throne will be secure forever. His kingdom will continue. This is truth here. His kingdom will never end. Jesus's kingdom will never end. I'd love us, if we can, to read from Isaiah as well. Because Jesus fulfills these great words in Isaiah chapter 9. Again, a prophecy of Jesus. And I just love because it speaks about his reign, his government. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. Who'd like to come and read that one for us? Any takers? Thanks, Candy. Let's read these great verses and let's just listen to these. Again, a prophecy that's been fulfilled in this moment.
For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
Thanks, Candy. What great words. Words that Isaiah spoke. Words prophesied hundreds of years before. And now in this moment, this angel is there saying, Mary, this is the moment where this is going to be fulfilled. This is who this baby is. This is who this child is going to be. I just love that this just is a beautiful picture of Jesus as our King. His kingdom will never end. Do you know what I love this morning? All the songs that we've sung, I've been sat there going, oh, can we just sing these all again after I've spoken? We won't. It's all right. Don't panic. But they all just speak of such the truth of who he is, about his kingship. If we could just put up the next slide that says, Jesus is King. He is the King of all kings. The King of all kings. And he will reign forever. I love it in Revelation when it describes when John is having that vision of Jesus. And it talks about how he arrives on a white horse or something. And he's got this cloak on his robe. And it says, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. This is who Jesus is. This is who he is. And I just this morning want to go, let's just let that sink and resonate with us. He is King. Jesus is King. So in all these words that the angel says, we get that Jesus, he's our Savior. We get that Jesus is great. Jesus, the Son of the Most High. Jesus is the Promised One. Jesus is King. Wow. I don't know about you, but that's incredible. I just want us to allow that to sink this morning. This is who he is. This is what we're celebrating as we lead up to Christmas. And do you know what? My question this morning is, what's your response to all of that? When you hear about who Jesus is, what's your response? Because Mary's response was so beautiful. What does Mary respond after the angel has literally downloaded all of that to her? She says, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Mary's response is one of submission. Mary's response is one of obedience. Mary's response is one of a willingness to serve him. Do you know, she shows such a trust in God, because this was pretty major. I reckon her mind was also whirring around all the other things that this, the implications of all this, even just Joseph. What's this going to be? Is he even going to stay with me? We know the story. But, you know, in that moment, there was a risk here in what was going to be happening to her. And she trusted in God. And I just want to say this morning, are you willing? So this is one of my favorite passages for Mary's response. Those words, I am the Lord's servant. Have you ever said those words to him? I know I have. And when I say them, not just, okay, yeah, we just say them, but we're talking about right deep in here, having that willingness to go, God, whatever you say, I'm going to be obedient to do it. And I want to just encourage us this morning that we will be like Mary, that we will have a heart that is willing to serve him, a heart of submission and obedience. The second response she has is a bit later on. We haven't read this one, but we get Mary's song of praise, don't we? Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham, Ham, and his children forever. What great words. Her response is one of worship, of adoration. She gives God glory. She gives him the praise. So again, I want to say, let's be like Mary. I love that we've been doing that all morning. We sang that word about he is worthy of it all. God, he is so worthy of it all. We can give him praise and give him glory and give him honor because he is Jesus, Savior. He is Jesus who is great. He is Jesus, the promised one. He is Jesus, the King. So many reasons. And we could add more onto that. I'm just talking about what literally the angel said in that moment. What a great reason to celebrate at Christmas. This is who we're celebrating. And I wonder if the band can come up. We're not going to sing every song again, don't worry. It would be quite amazing too, but we won't. But I want us just to end. We're going to sing that song we've already sung this morning. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. And in a moment, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And I just love this song that just lifts up his name. He is the name above all names. That's what this morning's about. Our whole service has been about this. Our songs of worship, our communion together, and this now, it is all about Jesus, coming back to the heart of worship. And now, at this time of year, this we've got to keep hold of this. This is what it's about. Why don't you close your eyes with me, and we're just going to pray, and maybe just right now, just maybe take a moment yourself to just acknowledge. Maybe there's something in there that you're like, actually, I need to grab hold of the fact that Jesus is my Savior. Maybe you need to just grab hold of the fact that he's your King. And maybe just take a moment to go, okay, what's my response? Maybe in this moment you want to be like Mary and go, yeah, Jesus, I'm willing. I'm your servant and I want to serve you this morning. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for who you are this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the King of all kings. You are the Lord of all lords. We praise you this morning for your greatness. God, you are so great. You are God. Jesus, we want to give you praise this morning. And I just want to pray for us over these coming weeks leading up to Christmas in this Advent season. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Jesus. May we not lose sight of who you are. May we not lose sight of you as our Savior, our King, your greatness and who you are. And I just pray that you'll help us. Help us this season to tell people about you. Maybe to explain the meaning of the name Jesus to those around us. Help us to be your messengers, because we have an incredible message to tell people about you, Jesus. We just give you worship and praise this morning. Amen.